You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. Do remember as well, you can contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Well, this week we celebrated Columbus Day. At least we experienced Columbus Day 2020. And I was thinking about this all this week as I pondered the fact that 4 years ago, I'm talking about 2016, the then President Barack Obama, he called upon the people of the United States of America to observe Columbus Day with appropriate ceremonies and activities. And why did he do that? Because, as he memorably put it, and this is a direct quote from Barack Obama 4 years ago, more than five centuries ago, one journey changed the trajectory of the world. And today, on Columbus Day, we recognize the spirit that Christopher Columbus's legacy inspired. Now think about those words. More than five centuries ago, one journey changed the trajectory of our world. So this is no small occasion. And today, he said, we recognize the spirit that Christopher Columbus's legacy inspired. Well, this week, 4 years after Obama's memorable declaration, Columbus Day was the scene of unspeakable carnage. Demonstrators toppled statues of Abraham Lincoln and Theodore Roosevelt, and the moniker "Stolen Land" was ominously spray-painted across the base of one or more of the statues. The headlines this morning in USA Today summed up the carnage with these words: "Portland protesters knock down Roosevelt Lincoln statues in rage towards Columbus Day." Protesters, they organized the event and they called it Indigenous People's Day of Rage. They threw chains around Roosevelt's statue. They threw red paint on the monument. And then they ominously used a blowtorch on the base of the statue. They desecrated the statues with venomous indignation. After toppling them, the horde began smashing windows at the Oregon Historical Society. I wonder why. Why at the Oregon Historical Society? Because they have been taught revisionist history. I can't help but wonder whether President William Howard Taft could have imagined this kind of a scene when he unveiled the Columbus Memorial at Washington's Union Station way back in the year 1912. Or for that matter, whether Ronald Reagan could have envisioned a mob of left-wing radicals getting away with such reckless desecration of historical monuments. Reagan, who who in 1981 lauded Christopher Columbus as a brilliant navigator, a fearless man of action, a visionary who opened the eyes of an older world to an entirely new world. Christopher Columbus, who personifies a view of the world to an entirely new view of the world. A man who personifies a view of the world that many see as quintessentially American. Not merely optimistic, but scornful of the very notion of despair. What could possibly motivate American citizens in the year 2020? What could motivate supposed exemplars of social justice to behave with such wanton recklessness in a supposed era of wokeness and progressive values? Might it be that from grade school onward, that these people have been indoctrinated by the teaching of men like Frederick Engels? Frederick Engels, who was the co-author of the Communist Manifesto? Frederick Engels, who scornfully dubbed Columbus an early capitalist? Could it be that in concert with the KKK, they attack Columbus because of their hatred of Christianity? Could it be that their anger over Columbus's intention to spread the message of Christ to those he encountered in the New World is anathema to them? Or that deeply held Christian convictions prominently displayed in Columbus's documents and diaries made them seethe with anger? One thing is absolutely certain. Reality dictates that it has nothing whatsoever to do with slavery, for as even the most historically illiterate well know, slavery was a well-established practice in America long before Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492. And trying to come to grips with these questions, I was cowed by page after page in Google searches with exclamations that Columbus was a nefarious character, a ruthless, money-grubbing, genocidal maniac, a man who severed hands, who raped women, who enslaved gentle people to satisfy white Europeans' lust for gold. Looking through all of these Google searches, I began to wonder, how can I really trust history? I literally wondered whether I'd talk to you about this on the broadcast today. Well, the answer to the question is you have to go back and check the primary resources. Not everybody can do that. Not everyone can discern between wheat and chaff and heat and light. Oftentimes I can't. And that's why you need the power of organizations like the Christian Research Institute, an organization that can do primary research, that can discern between wheat and chaff and heat and light, and that can provide you with the unadulterated truth, which is something that I intend to do when we come back from the break today. It's high time that we communicated truth in place of error, that we countered the narratives of historical revisionists who have the seat at the table in classrooms around America, not only a seat at the table, but the very one who is orchestrating what is seeping into the minds of oppressional students. It's high time that we counter the narrative. Before we go to break and before we address all of that on the other side of the break, what I do want to say is there's a book that you need to get, Politics for Christians, Statecraft as Soulcraft. It's by Francis Beckwith. You can get it on the web at equip.org. It's available for your support, but it teaches you what it means to be a Christian citizen in a liberal democracy. Of course, the liberal part of democracy refers to the liberties or freedoms that a government is supposed to guarantee you. And these include freedom of religion, of speech, of assembly, of the press, as well as the right to own property. The democracy part of it, of course, refers to self-governance, equality under the law. Self-governance means a representative government that is ultimately accountable to the people. I'm fired up about all of this, looking forward to talking about this and more when we come back from the break. Do remember, as always, the resource that I just mentioned, available on the web at equip.org. And thanks for all of you that make these kinds of programs available on radio across the world.
The role of Christians in politics is hotly contested. Many non-believers insist that people of faith set aside their beliefs before getting involved in politics. However, if Christians believe that Christianity is true, then any politics that does not take Christian truths into consideration will never be complete. As we approach one of the most important elections in our nation's history, Francis Beckwith's book, Politics for Christians, Statecraft as Soulcraft, is a must-read for all American Christians. To receive your copy of Politics for Christians, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
According to Politics for Christians by Francis Beckwith, a candidate who embraces Christian ideals, even if he or she is not a Christian, is a candidate that a Christian can support with a clear conscience. Christians in America have the historically unique power to enact laws that advance the common good and must take this special obligation seriously by using good judgment while voting and supporting legislation and political candidates. This is not to say that Christians will always agree on what policies and candidates represent the best option to advance the common good, but there is no doubt that Christians have a biblical mandate to advance it. To receive your copy of Politics for Christians, Statecraft as Soulcraft, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Talking today about Columbus Day 2020, which has been turned into Indigenous People's Day of Rage. And we have a whole generation of people who believe that Columbus was a ruthless, money-grubbing, genocidal maniac. But what's the truth? Is he really a genocidal maniac, or was he a Christian who wanted to spread the message of Christ around the world? And how can you trust history? What's it like to live in the age of Google, an age in which page after page on Google search engines are giving us a narrative? How do we know whether that narrative is true or false? Well, there's a book by Mary Graber. That book is titled Debunking Howard Zinn. It's subtitled Exposing the Fake History That Turned a Generation Against America. In that book, Mary Graber asks this very question. How do you know what's true and how do you know what's false? Well, the only way to have real knowledge is by going to, as I said before the break, going to the original sources, which is precisely what she does. She read Columbus's diaries in full and in context. Diaries that are only selectively and tendentiously quoted by Marxist Howard Zinn. Eighth graders today are assigned Zinn's book, a book titled A Young People's History of the United States of America. Indeed, a good deal of what you read on the internet is based on this book and its historical revisionism. It constitutes the steady diet of poison that is seeping into the hearts and minds of impressionable children. Little wonder then. The young people today grow up hating America. Professors, politicians are but the ripened fruit of years and years of systematic historical revisionism. In fact, let me call it what it is. It's indoctrination. We've sown to the wind, and now we're reaping the whirlwind. Graber exposes the fake history lessons that they're systematically turning a new generation of kids against American exceptionalism. He uses ellipses to obscure truth, and the internet has followed in his train. When Zinn quotes from Columbus's diary, he leaves crucial words out of the quotations. He makes Columbus say precisely the opposite of what he really says in his documents and diaries. Here's an example. Here are some words by Columbus quoted by Zinn. And I'm quoting this. Arawak, men and women, naked and tawny, full of wonder, have no iron. Their spears are made of cane. They would make fine servants. With 50 men, we could subjugate them all and make them do whatever we want. These supposedly the words of Christopher Columbus. What Graber does is she shows that the omission right before they would make fine servants is simply dishonest. The line about making fine servants does not even belong to the same log entry. It doesn't belong to the same log entry as the line about subjugation. They're completely unrelated ideas. In fact, in context, Columbus explains that it was the other islanders who had indeed attempted to subjugate these gentle people. Here's what Columbus said. I saw some who bore marks of wounds on their bodies. This is reading from his journal. And I made signs to them to ask how this came about. And they indicated to me that people came from other islands which are nearby and wished to capture them, and they defended themselves. And I believed and still believe that they come here from the mainland to take them as slaves. Graeber shows that Zinn's highly selective quotations from Columbus's log are designed to give the impression that Columbus had no concern for the Indian's spiritual or physical well-being, that the explorer was motivated by a frenzy for money. But literally, says Graeber, the explorer's first concern, the hope that he expressed in the initial comment about the natives in his log, this concern was for the Indians' freedom and for their eternal salvation. Here's the quote, now in context, not out of context. Christopher Columbus said, I want the natives to develop a friendly attitude towards us because I know that they are a people who can be made free and converted to our holy faith more by love than by force. Expunged from the historical record is Columbus's commitment to take nothing without giving in return, his pledge to make Native Americans free through love rather than by force. From the brainwashing perspective of this new breed of woke educators, Native Americans imbued their children with courage. They respected women as equal to Native warriors, considered other tribes not only equal but endowed with dignity. But one thing these educators do not do is provide the young children under their command with examples of Columbus's kindness towards Native Americans. In other words, history is skewed. The indoctrination of students doesn't stop in grammar school. I wrote about this in one of my books. Andrew White, who is the founder of Cornell University, along with his proteges, gleefully teach students that Christian fundamentalists perpetuated flat earth mythology, and that hundreds of years after Columbus and Magellan empirically proved the earth to be round. And tragically, historically illiterate students are drinking the Kool-Aid, despite the obvious reality that unanimous scholarly opinion from Augustine to Aquinas, to the ancient Greeks for that matter, had long determined the earth to be spherical. Truth is so obscure in these times. Falsehood so prevalent that unless we love truth, we will not discover it any more than Columbus would have discovered America without the benefit of a Christian worldview. All of this underscores the importance of the Christian Research Institute and our many outreaches around the world. We are helping people discern between wheat and chaff and heat and light, to know the truth as opposed to historical revisionism, to cut through the fog of the internet, the Google search engines, and to tell you the truth about American exceptionalism. And again, let me say that all of you ought to get a copy of the book Politics for Christians. This book is our offer of the month. And it points out the significance of what it means to be a Christian citizen in a liberal democracy, one in which we have the liberty to worship, one in which we have the liberty to participate in our democracy through our vote. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. A quick reminder that this is Giving Tuesday. If you can give, please give with a grateful heart, and give because you want to extend God's kingdom, not only for time, but into all eternity. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org. Thanks for tuning in. See you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Christians can't sit this election out. Although the New Testament speaks very little about government and the Christian's responsibility as a citizen, certain principles from the Bible contribute to understanding why a Christian citizen should have an interest in politics. Politics for Christians by Francis Beckwith offers readers biblical and theological ways to think about politics and the role of the Christian in a liberal democracy. To receive your copy of Politics for Christians, Statecraft as Soulcraft, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.